everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you once again for joining me because, as you know, this show is dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And these in-depth conversations really are great opportunities to just keep learning and exploring and expanding your awareness. I just want to add before we jump into an important conversation today, and that is to be sure to visit my website, if you haven't already, whatwomenmustknow.com, because not only do you get special reports, but you get the archived shows that I do every week, so you'll be sure to catch them all. And my Facebook page, which is also What Women Must Know, is a great place to go and like me over there because I post on a daily basis with additional information, articles, studies, research, and you will also be able to access my shows that way. So those are two avenues to keep you informed and allow you to get the best information possible that I am sharing with you. So today is another opportunity to really expand our awareness, and it's a topic that I've been really passionate about. In fact, I have been aware of a problem related to our cell phones and now our expanding wireless world for over 10 years. So this is a growing problem. It's growing in its expansion and density of these frequencies of devices and of the alarms that are being raised about the health risks. Today we're going to be talking to Daniel Dubon, who is the author of a new book, a fantastic new book, that's called Radiation Nation, The Fallout of Modern Technology, which is the topic of our show. And we're going to be exploring and explaining how our wireless world is really a huge risk to our health and the health of future generations. And if you've been listening for a while, you know that this is a passion of mine and doing my best to alert people and to help everyone wake up to what's going on. So just a little bit about Daniel Dubon. He is an internationally recognized and influential expert in EMF radiation, related health issues, and shielding, with a particular focus on the effect of exposure from mobile devices such as laptops, tablets, and cell phones, and other electric devices. Daniel's concern regarding the health impact of EMF emissions grew from over 30 years of engineering experience in the telecommunication industry, where he held a variety of leadership and executive positions at Telcordia, AT&T, and Bell Labs. Through the course of his career, Daniel has created requirements for large telecommunication systems, led technical division responsible for establishing industry standards, and formed analysis adherence testing for next-generation digital transmission systems. Daniel also oversaw laboratories that analyzed electromagnetic radiation interference, electrical signals, and digital formats. So if there's anyone who understands what's going on with this, it is Daniel. And I just want to say that I met Daniel recently when I was at the Natural Products Expo. It was such a fortuitous meeting that I found his booth and we were able to have this conversation, and I knew I had to invite him onto the show because he has such a wealth of information and wisdom. So having said all that, it's my great pleasure to welcome Daniel Dubon to the show today. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Dr. Cheryl. Thanks so much for inviting me. I really appreciate having an opportunity to share what we're learning about electromagnetic radiation with your listening audience.
Well, I know that this is a huge passion of yours, and when we met at Natural Products Expo, we kind of just locked in there. We could have been talking for days,
yes,
but you had a busy booth, so we just made that contact, and now I have you all to myself, you know, so
right.
We can have this conversation. So tell us a bit about your background and the experience that you gathered over the years that makes you such a leading voice right now and of, you know, an expert that's raising the concern and the health risks from the wireless world that we are now all involved in and there's no escape from anymore.
Well, Dr. Cheryl, it was really interesting. Over the years, I ran laboratories and actually developed industry standards for telecommunications equipment. So we were really, really involved at every level of the electronic world. And irony of all ironies, crosstalk or interference with electronic systems or electromagnetic radiation interfering with other things tended to be fairly low on my radar screen years ago. But we had so much experience in that space, we were able to actually, we actually were the industry standard development teams that brought technology evolutions to the communications network. And then a couple of years ago, and here how it applies to the business I'm in now, which is writing the book and other things. My wife was sitting talking to my boys. The boys had their laptops on their lap for hours at a time. And my wife says, I want grandchildren. And it was funny. I'm not sure she really knew why, but she was intuitively thinking, that stuff can't be good for you. Well, I actually know what that stuff was. So I said to myself, well, yeah, that is very dangerous. And in fact, we would restrict those kinds of things in telecom equipment so there wouldn't be the interference and other things like that and actually infecting the human body. And so what brought me into this space was I said, well, we got to have something to protect us. We looked at the products and services in the marketplace. We couldn't find anything that we thought, no one understood the problem. The problem was, how do you shield 0 to 10 gigahertz? All the transmissions coming off of electronic equipment today is in that frequency range. So we thought, well, let's try to find something to protect ourselves. We really couldn't. So long story short, I created a company that addresses how you shield yourself with these kinds of technologies that are very much an intimate part of our lives. We use it every day. It becomes critical for what we do in our businesses and our communications with our friends and family. So we're not going to throw them away. So the question is, how do you deal with it in your life?
So you were involved as head of labs, like at Bell Labs, and doing research and looking at this technology. What alarmed you about this technology and how it's become so pervasive and invaded our world, not just our lives, our world? I was reading your book, Radiation Nation, and it's brand new. It's got the latest studies in it. It's really up to date. And you really talk about the fact that there are about 7 billion, there's 7.3 billion people on the planet, and now there are 7 billion cell phone subscriptions.
World. Yeah. The way I like to think about it is, it's 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when I was in the lab, there was a mainframe 50 miles away from me somewhere, and it emitted terrible emissions, but I never worried about it. Why? Because it was far enough away from me. And then today, I have almost the same capacity in computing powers and powerful machines that are literally next to my head when I use them. Now, that in itself was dangerous, but even more so was 30 years ago, they were using transmissions that connected from cell phones to cell towers and things of that nature, Wi-Fi from your Wi-Fi router to your laptop. Those went from an analog signal, which is a constant load, to a digital signal, and the digital signals actually now are more dangerous than analog signals, because where before the analog signal was a constant load to the cell, now we have these pounding digital transmission pounding our cells like a jackhammer. So it's become more dangerous. And 10 years ago even, I didn't have any friends to call on a cell phone. They didn't have a cell phone. And today, everyone has a cell phone, including kids 6 years old. It's become a serious problem because society has embraced all of these technologies that are around us so much without any real concern about the impacts of these technologies to our body.
So the digital signal is a pulse signal, right? So when you're talking about analog being constant, so the digital signal goes on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. And it's that on and off, on and off pulsed pattern that is disruptive to our biology. Is that?
Yeah, I don't like to get into too much detail, but I'd love to – let's answer that question. What happens – if you a cell sits there and it looks at the outside world, and so if it's being attacked, it starts weakening. It's like any toxin. If you take arsenic as a toxin, it may bother your body because it's irritating the cells. And so what happens with a electromagnetic radiation transmission from these devices, it is also hitting the cell. When the cell sees it, it weakens. And that weakened cell changes the mechanics of how that cell communicates to the cells around them. As you know, doctor, when you have a healthy cell, it communicates a protein to the next cell. Well, guess what? When you weaken the cell membrane, which ultimately can deteriorate pretty seriously, and we can talk about this a little later. But when you have that reduction, the proteins don't pass back and forth. So you feel sick. You get headaches. You don't feel quite as well because the body's now being impacted by those transmissions that are now touching their body, which is the most dangerous place a transmission signal should be. In fact, a little bit more detail, what happens to the cell when it weakens? If it weakens to a great extent, the calcium channel within the body actually penetrates the cell itself. And long story short, that penetration is actually what mutates the cell, damages the cell, and makes the cell dysfunctional. And that's from the pulsing transmission signals that are around us every day from all our devices.
So we are exposed to frequencies from our devices, from our cell phones, from our routers, our laptops, from our Apple Watch, from our Fitbit, from our smart TV, from our smart meter. I kind of go and collect different the latest devices, and I just found a device that was advertised. It was on a program on television that they are now making a pacifier that has Bluetooth in there. Do you know this? There's a pacifier for babies that's Bluetooth, so you can monitor their temperature. Bluetooth technology in the baby's mouth, and this.
That is a digital signal. The power levels are much lower, orders of magnitude less from a transmission for a cell phone, for example. But it's long durations of time, low energy levels that are pounding at the cells. Science doesn't differentiate almost the difference between the RF signal of a cell tower and the RF signal of a Bluetooth. There are two kinds of emissions you want to worry about. The ones you just described, the environment we live, I think of that as one environment. And then I think of the other environment where you have things really close to your body. They're almost two different problems. If you look at your environment where you're being bombarded from many sources, think of it this way. If you were in a room and there was one bee in the room, doctor, would you be worried? Nah, you'd say, yeah. Oh, I'm fine. Well, now all of a sudden you have 1,000 bees in the room. 1,000 bees kill. So it almost the environment. So when you hear about ADHD, leukemia correlated to the emissions of these devices. That's the impact to the body where you have bees in the room. And the other environment is when you have them close to your body. All of a sudden, that environment, you're bringing those transmissions directly to your body. Like when you use a cell phone, you have an RF signal for the cell tower itself. That goes 3 to 5 miles. So the energy level is pretty strong for that. And then you look at the Wi-Fi, that's also transmitting from that cell phone. That can go a couple hundred feet. And then you have the Bluetooth transmitters that are coming out. That then goes 30 to 50 feet. You have three transmitters, all three of them transmitting an RF signal, all three of them potentially damaging to the cell.
Wow. It's so scary. And when we were talking earlier, you were talking about the FCC recommendations and how they are so outdated as far as safety measures. And people are going, well, listen, if this is so bad, the government would step in, we would know about it. There'd be regulations that would protect us. Can you help dispel that myth?
Yes, let's talk about that. If you have a microwave oven, I'm not sure you do, but if you put
I don't actually.
Yeah,
I never have and never will.
I don't either. But I didn't want to lead you. It turns out that when you take a piece of meat and you put it in your microwave oven and you turn it on, what's happening? What's going on? Well, there's a microwave transmission being pushed into the meat. What happens is the water that's in between the cells starts heating up, and the cells themselves oscillate. Those oscillations heat up, and that's what cooks your meat. So a microwave transmitting signal is, and I'm sorry for being technical, 2.3 gigahertz transmission. Your Bluetooth, your Wi-Fi is 2.4 gigahertz. It's the almost identical signal, except it is a lower magnitude of strength, a lower energy. So think about this. When you put your cell phone to your head, it's a microwave signal, and it is heating your head. And that's where the standard plays a role. The standard written over 30 years ago was written for an analog signal, and it was written only looking for the impact of heating the cells around the phone, an area around the phone, by 2 degrees. So all these standards are doing is saying you can't have a signal stronger than 1.6 watts per kilogram. That's what the standard says. And that is so they prevent the heating up the head by 2 degrees and penetrating the head by 1 inch. Now, that was for a 6-foot man. And so if you think about it, for you, it probably goes 1.5 to 2 inches. You're not a 6-foot man. You're a beautiful woman. If you are a child, that signal can go all the way through your head. And think about this. When you and I grew up, well, at least when I grew up, there was no such thing as cell phones. So I never had an exposure. And here we are having signals penetrate a child's head when they're 6 years old, and they're likely to have that penetration their whole life. So their exposures are far more longer than ours. And remember that we're finding in science today, it's not the thermal impact that's the standard that's creating the problems to the cells. It's the biological impact. It's the constant hitting of those cells around the transmitters that are being close to the head. So the standards is totally inadequate. It doesn't address what the biological long-term impacts are of exposures at all. And so these days you hear of illnesses, people a complaint about being affected. They can feel the signals. All of this are biological impacts and almost always never thermal impacts.
So let me just kind of reiterate that point because it's so important. So the industry standards, which were made 30 years ago, totally out of date but never updated, said there are no real problems from cell phones because we can't see any evidence that it's heating up the brain. And the brain
right.
they used and the models they used was of this 6 foot, 200-pound man. And they said, therefore, it's safe. Even though, Daniel, in everyone's, you know, kind of their agreements and you know, when they get a new cell phone, if you look up on your cell phone all the concerns and recommendations, it always does say keep your cell phone at least, what, at half an
right.
inch away from the body,
right.
from your head, because
right,
it
exactly.
causes cancer. I mean, it says it right there, but
yeah,
the
exactly.
government, you know, I mean, so it's like, wait a minute, am I crazy or what, right?
Right,
so,
I know, it's nuts.
So it was always said it's not heating up the brain, therefore it's not really a problem. We have no evidence. Of course, it was never done on children, as we were saying. But what is really important that needs to be emphasized, what you were saying, is what we now know through ongoing research is that the real danger from these devices is not the heating up of the brain. It is the cell's response to these frequencies that are very toxic to every single cell, altering physiological function in the body. Is that correct?
That is exactly right. And let me give you, this is a raging debate in the industry, as you know. I'll tell you two stories. The first story is there was a Dr. Carlos 20-some-odd years ago that used to work for the consortium that would lobby the federal government on wireless communications standards. Dr. Carlos was asked to look for a link between cancer use, cell phone use, and cancer. He found some direct links, went to the head of the TCIA 20 years ago, and he said, yeah, I found links. And Dr. Carlos ceremoniously lost his job. And at the time, the head of that group was, there was a head of, there was a guy who led it. That man ended up being the head of the FCC. And so 20 years later, he had responsibility and he had evidence by Dr. Carlos to the existence of the link to cancers. And yet, this standard hasn't changed. So that's one story, talking about the politics of emissions. Here's another story. This past summer of last year, there was the Institution of Toxicity Program, which is a division of the federal government. What they did is they did a study, an epidemiology study, which, as you know, is always the leader to us finding solutions to problems in science. And they spent $25 million. They created an isolation chamber, and they eliminated the ambient existence of any electromagnetic radiation in the environment. It was clean. Then they took transmitters from two different kinds of cell phones and the coding algorithms within the cell phones, and they transmitted in a controlled environment to the population, and much to the chagrin, these guys were really bright fellows. They eliminated the thermal impact. You know how they did that, Doctor? They took the transmitters and moved them away so there was no thermal impact. They were brilliant,
mm-hmm.
and what they did, in other words, is if there was an impact, it was only biological, not thermal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what they found was that there was a direct link to frontal lobe cancers as well as heart cancers. And it was a peer-reviewed study, and that's what they weren't expecting that to happen in that study. So where there's controversy, now even the federal government has confirmed, in fact, that there's links, yet we don't know about it as a general public. There's a reason why frontal lobe cancers have been increasing at 2% per year for the last 10 years. It correlates to, as you started the program, you mentioned about the increased use. And going back only a little bit, none of us had phones. Now, all of a sudden, we all have phones. Well, that's correlated with the increase of cancers to the brain. And as you also know, I'm sure, the reason that it impacted the frontal lobes and the heart, it's very soft tissue. It's more susceptible. If you have a exposure to your hand from a cell phone, you've never heard of anybody having problems with their hand from exposures to electromagnetic radiation. It doesn't exist, although some are electrically sensitive, can feel it. By and large, it's not a serious threat. That's because it's bones and muscle. It's not highly susceptible to those emissions, yet the heart is and the brain is. There was a metadata study also that just recently finished, and what they did is they looked at the quality of about 15 to 20 different studies. They looked at who funded the studies. They looked at how the studies were set up. They looked at the quality of the results, and their conclusion was: if you use a cell phone heavily, you clearly have a 1% increase over those who don't of getting brain cancer. And as you also may know, there's always a problem with studies because they're not statistically significant. They're not big enough. But what they did was they solved the problem to some extent with a metadata study where they took a bunch of studies and they evaluated all of them, and their conclusions were exactly what they found out with the toxicity program by the federal government. So there is impact to our bodies when we have these devices close to our bodies, and we should be thinking about how we want to deal with that in our environment and how we personally want to address it as it relates to our bodies.
So we need to really understand that we're kind of left on our own, aren't we? I mean, the government does not really provide us with updated research and regulations that are protecting us. The industry is really protected. The government really protects the industry more than it protects the public, wouldn't you say that?
Oh, there's no question about that. In fact, do you know Dave Asprey? He's he was a telecom guy. He went and he did Bulletproof, which is a very successful company out in California. He and I have spoke often, and he was relating to me. He was in a meeting with officers of many, many large-scale companies, and he asked them, who's responsible for protecting us when it comes to putting cell phones to our head? All of them said, not me. And guess what? We already know the standards are outdated and certainly don't reflect the technologies that are being embodied in these devices we're putting close to our bodies. So you're right. We're on our own. And the reality, Dr. Cheryl, is we can deal with this stuff, and it becomes no problem at all if you are smart about working with things around you like these. There's no dangers whatsoever. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, yes, you are right. Standards don't exist that protect us. Standards are not evolving to reflect the technologies, And we know that the manufacturers themselves certainly don't have the responsibility of making sure we're protected as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really disturbing. And I think, you know, there are a couple of things I want to talk to you about. But before I ask and pose those questions, I think it's important to go over the studies that have been done that look at all the conditions and chronic illnesses that either are caused or exacerbated by exposure to our wireless environment, which is not just our cell phone. It's the exposure, this constant, unrelenting 24/7 exposure to these fields that are, you know, that we're in, you know, and around all the time. You know, when I lecture, I always ask people how many devices do they have, and I list the, you know, the options. And generally, people have between 8 and 12 in their home, and that's if they don't have a lot of kids.
Right.
So you have a lot of studies in your book, and I thought maybe you can just mention some of the known health risks that are exacerbated or caused from this exposure to these technologies without protection.
Did you know that the World Health Organization, WHO, the International Agency for Research in Cancer, they actually classify this as a category 2 carcinogenic, 2B carcinogenic. I mentioned to you before it was arsenic. So even the World Health Organizations are beginning to believe that these things are of concern. There are so many studies about these impacts that are occurring every day. What I like to do is reference some really good work from going on with Dr. Carpenter, Cindy Sage. There are people that have been in the industry for a while, and they have brought together experts, medical field experts, that annually get together, and they report on the current understanding of the bio effects, the adverse effects. And they embody this every year in a report called the Bioinitiative Report. I would encourage anybody who wants to be up to date about, without having to do their own research work, going to the Bioinitiative Report, because it really does help you understand, you know, what's currently going on in science. And there are so many other study work that's been going on as well by others, but there's so many. I don't want to suggest people go down and try to find all of those spaces, but it's a good place to go. There's also Dr. Deborah Davis. Do you know Dr. Deborah Davis?
Yes,
you may know.
I do know. Yes, Dr. Deborah Davis has been on my show.
Oh, wonderful.
And she's got a great website.
That's what I was going to say. Go to her website. She does a great job of trying to keep current on this work.
And
I
wanted to say,
homework.
And that website, by the way, for people listening, is ehtrust.org, for Environmental Health Trust.org. ehtrust.org. It does have great information there. So thanks for mentioning that website.
Yeah, I think her work is current, and the Buyer Initiative also, and they have their own website as well, www.bioinitiative.org.
Because, you know, I know Dr. Deborah Davis is really concerned more and more with the impact of this technology on children's health and children's brains, and how they're so vulnerable. And now we have 5-year-olds, you know, using iPhones. We have pregnant women using these technologies, so the fetus is exposed, and there's a growing body of knowledge that is showing it's causing harm, increasing the incidence of autism and learning disabilities, behavioral problems, sleep in children, just about, just everything that can possibly be affected in children's brains is being affected by
exposure. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. In fact, I mentioned to you Cindy Sage. She's a lady that works as the editor for BioInitiative. And 20 years ago, she said, she did an evaluation, a study of exposures for pregnant women and the impact to the fetus as a result of that. And what she found 20 years ago, 10 milligauss, all you got to know is 10 is low. 100 is a little higher. 10 is really low. She found that 10 milligauss exposing the womb of a woman increased the probability of miscarriage by 3 times.
Wow.
So it's really serious. It is known impacts. We know that that a male has, after several hours of use, has 25% of the sperm that's immobile. We know from science that women, the womb of the woman, potentially after heavy exposure, has a likelihood of a benign tumor, of which, as you know, some actually convert to cancers. And then we know that there is cell damage. The DNA itself is literally disrupted. And you were talking about the womb. There are some experts who say, well, look, these exposures can be to a 12-year-old young girl. It affects the egg. It now has DNA damage. Subtending generations 10 years from now, 20 years from now with that damage – has an impact to the human race, literally. Now, I don't espouse to that theory, but we don't know the impacts.
Right. I mean, we do know that it causes DNA damage. That's well established. And Dr. Carlo showed that, when he was doing his initial research, but it's been validated ever since. So we don't know what's happening to future generations who are exposed to this either in the womb or at very young age. And we have children right now that have more exposure to this technology than adults ever had.
Right. Yeah. By the way, Dr. Cheryl, recently there's been some really good work by several research groups. Dr. Martin Paul, for example, he's out of Washington, D.C. I'm an engineer, right? So when you want to understand the problem, you want to see it in its components. And so, 10 years ago and beyond, earlier, science was saying it's a problem. We know it's a problem. We never knew what the mechanics of the problem was. We just knew it was a problem. And so I was talking before about the cell weakening. Well, when that cell weakens, the calcium channel actually can penetrate the cell itself. That cell then has a build-out of nitride oxide. And that nitride oxide is what actually damages the DNA or mutates the cell. Guess what? That's the net result of what happens when you're exposed to an atomic bomb or an X-ray too much. The body reaction is in the latter stages of the cell evolution, they respond exactly the same way. And so this is, as you pointed out, can be pretty serious. And we just don't know the full effects of all of these emissions in time. We just don't know yet. Science hasn't been around long enough understanding all of the impacts of these, particularly in the case of children. But for me, knowing that there is a biological impact and to the emissions, and a child's using a cell phone at 6 years old, or for that matter, he has a Wi-Fi in his lap, or she has a Wi-Fi in her lap with a tablet in their lap. That's impacting their lower regions. There's just no doubt about it. None.
Yeah, so, we don't, for the skeptics listening, you don't want to wait 10, 20 years down the track when there's such an epidemic of health. I mean, I believe 30% of the population now is electrosensitive. That's a huge percentage of people that are already feeling the impact. And because these frequencies are invisible, you can't taste them, smell them, see them, unless you're electrosensitive, and then you walk into a room and your body goes haywire and you're in pain and, you know, you're fatigued and have insomnia, you know, you really aren't aware of what's going on. So, you know, people have to wake up to the fact that there is ongoing research alarming us and be proactive, be preventative, get protection. You cannot sit there with your head in the sand and think you're safe because the government hasn't warned you adequately.
Right, exactly. But by the way, I'll reinforce your statistic. We know that 20% of the population is electro-hypersensitive. Did you know that 80% of that is women?
No.
So, yeah, it appears from the data we've seen that women seem to be more. Now, that doesn't preclude men completely, but 80% of that 20% is women. And for them, it gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't plateau. When you start getting sensitive, we were talking about this before, the cell membrane says, I'm not feeling well, I'm not going to talk to the adjacent cell. The protein's not going to pass. That impact is really not going to improve and be repaired over time. It actually seems to get worse for those who are electrically sensitive. So it is really important to do some basic block and tackle in the exposures of these things. Stay away a little bit, and it's likely, more likely, that you won't feel the impact as much as if it was really close.
You know, Daniel, before we're kind of coming to the end, but we have some time, and I want to talk about some protection, but I want you to talk a bit about what is coming down the track with what is known as 5G, and people will be hearing this term more and more as this new level of this 5G is the fifth generation of these microwave frequencies and microwave radiation frequencies that are going to be established. Can you just briefly help enlighten us on what is coming?
No problem. When the standard was created, as we mentioned, you have an analog signal, a constant load to the cell. Between 2G and 4G, we have a digital signal, a pulsing signal, that's hitting our cell. They use a coding algorithm that encodes the data that's sitting on that digital signal, and there's one set of data being passed. In 5G, that traditional way of transmitting broader data is now being replaced with a different protocol that's actually moving more data than ever before. And it's, by the way, it's in the 9 to 20 gigahertz space. It's like 5, 10, 15 times faster than you've had in the past. So that's helping improve the speed. But as you increase it, you start changing the energy pattern and how it impacts the cell. So that's one impact that you worry about. But the other one, which is equally and maybe even more important, is the way they're packing more data in there is they're using multiple streams of data. And a good way of explaining that is if you're going to have a pool and you want to fill it with water, you put a hose into the water, and the pool gets filled up fast. Well, let's say you're in a rush. You want to make it really fast. So what you do is you put another hose in. You double the speed of the water filling the pool. Well, guess what? That's how they're doing it in 5G. They are multiple in and multiple out. MIMO is what it's called. So there's multiple streams of data, multiple pulsing of that data, twice than 2 to 4G. So all of a sudden, the dynamics of those signals are changes fundamentally the impact of the cell. And by the way, we don't have any real study data on the true impacts, but there's no doubt that this is a continuation of technology that is known to impact the cells in an adverse way. And now they're doubling it.
So it's hard to fathom the fact that we are, and this is all over the world, 5G is coming into use.
Right.
That there are no safety studies on this new level of microwave pulsing that's happening. No safety studies at all existing to show they're safe. How can this be? How can they initiate a technology without proving it's safe to the world's population?
I just don't know. How could they have made the decision that we're only worried about the thermal impact, not the biological? So to me, it's consistent. Watch what's going on in your life, because there's certainly true that I can't fathom. I would never allow that in my labs. If you were to come to me and you would have said, we got to establish a new standard, I would look at what it is, not speculate what I think it looks like, because that's not science. And what I see is political positioning, not science positioning. In fact, I see science doing their job. But like always, good example, when I was 12 years old, I smoked cigarettes. Right? Did you know back then, and as many years as you may know, there was no public record of any correlation between cancer and smoking a cigarette? I felt like a big man. And then all of a sudden, 30 years later, everyone now knows there's cancer linked to smoking. What changed? Did you know science knew 30 years ago that there was that link? Yet it wasn't common knowledge. What changed was they lost in court. The industry's lost in court. And I keep on thinking that when it's going to become common knowledge is when they lose in court. And by the way, they are starting to lose in court. And the general populations are starting to make more and more noises, particularly when there's concentrations of transmitting signals in concentrated areas where people live. So, Dr. Shell, the real point of what I think we may be wanting to do today is talk about the things we can do. This is not an alarming discussion. These are things we should understand that's in our environment, and there's things we can do to try to deal with these kinds of influences in the environment. Like, for example, did you know that if you take a cell phone signal and you move it 1 foot away, more than 80% of that danger to the cell is gone? If you move 4 foot away, 98% of that danger is gone. It's logarithmic. It drops substantially when you are just a little bit away, and it doesn't take much. So when you were talking before about your Wi-Fis and your how many technology things you have, believe it or not, the easiest way to deal with that is make sure they're away from you, and you're fine. The distance is your friend. Mm-hmm. Being away from it just a little bit really truly does reduce the potential dangers of those exposures,
which is really important. And I know that you've created technology that's protecting people. I've been searching for and working with other technology, but talk a little bit about and if couple of minutes we have left, Daniel, the technology that you have developed.
No problem at all. Let me do that. But before I do that, do you mind? The other thing about protection is time. If you put a cell phone to your head and it's 5 minutes, I wouldn't worry about it at all. But if you're putting a cell phone to your head for an hour, that's a completely different problem. So it's not just distance, it's time exposure.
But can I just say something? You know, we focus on cell phones to our heads, right? People go, well, if I put it on speaker and I'm holding it, I'm fine. But actually, that's not true. Because if you have it on your, if you're holding it, if it's, you know, in the proximity, in your pocket, if it's in your front pocket, back pocket, shirt pocket, it's impacting those areas that are closest to the emission from the phone. So it can be causing effects on your central nervous system, autonomic system, on your kidneys, on your testes, on your ovaries. I mean, you know, this is, even if you're holding in your hand, your body is connected to those, that proximity that you're talking about, right?
Let me give you an example, and you probably know as well as I do. Recently, there was study work about women putting their cell phone in their bra. And then all of a sudden, we found out that tumors were being created. The time and the duration was affecting the tissue itself. So you're right. Every time, in fact, if you take a cell phone and you put it on close to your heart, do you know you lose weakness in your left arm? And the reason why is it's interfering with the electrical system. It's actually preventing the muscles from operating properly. And so if you want to see a parlor trick, do that someday. Put it next to your heart and find the weakness that you feel. But to the point you just made, I actually have a friend of mine who's a biochemist. And I never talk about cells that are in crisis. There's a lot of terms that are used to describe that. I never do, because I say that the problem is not just the cell. It's the whole infrastructure of the body that's in play. So as to your point, when you start mucking around with signals in various parts of your body, it does impact it, and it can affect and change the way the body functions itself.
That's such a big message.
Yeah, it is. And so let me try to answer a little bit about what we do
Okay, but we have only about a couple of minutes, Daniel, so
okay,
I want to make sure we cover it. And then we'll give people a link. And one of the links, by the way, is to radiationnationbook.com, which I just want to say your book is so easy to read. Anybody who is wanting to understand this should really be reading your book, because it's layperson terminology. We can understand and get it.
Yes. But what I did was, remember when my wife said that she wants grandchildren? Well, I actually, Bell Labs years ago created shielding materials. And so I'm pretty familiar with the various ways of protecting the body, because I was evolved with ways of shielding those emissions. So we actually have technologies that we have where we actually prevent the signal from touching the body. And we have product lines that use a three-tiered patent-pending technology solution that protects the body. And we typically offer a variety of products that are to the head, to the body. And you can typically find that detail in our website, which is defendershield.com.
Okay, so defendershield.com is where they can go to learn more about the protection, and the Radiation Nation book is where they can learn more about your book and order your book, right?
Yes, that's right.
I have
right,
that Doc. Correct? I have that
yes,
correct?
Yes, you do.
Okay, great. Okay, because we, you know, we, I appreciate everyone listening in, and I'm sure it's kind of turning lots of little connections on in people's brains as they listen to this, but I really want people to get curious enough to start learning and doing the research and find out exactly what's going on this issue, because you're not going to find it in your newspaper, and it's not
right.
going to be on the 6 o'clock news. You know, in fact, you know, just want to say this briefly. There was a really good documentary done in Australia on the pros and cons of exposure to wireless technology, and it was on the ABC, which is their, you know, supposedly, you know, kind of non-commercial, like the BBC network in Australia. And within 24 hours of that program being played, it was taken off their website, and the producer was relieved of her position.
Wow.
Not because there was anything inaccurate in there, and not because it was biased. It was because there was information there that the cell phone industry did not like getting out. And for the first time in the history of the ABC, they took a program off their website.
That's
totally
amazing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, eliminated it. So that's the power of the industry to block us from getting the truth.
Yeah. Wow.
So
that's
pretty
sad.
Yeah, and your book is so important. I really do like your book a lot, Daniel, because Radiation Nation is just lays it all out there in a way that we can really understand with the latest studies. So congratulations on that book. We've run out of time, but I really so appreciate you being here and the wonderful work you're doing and getting the message out, educating us, empowering us with this important, important information. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you again for inviting us. We really appreciate the opportunity you've provided.
It's my pleasure. And to all of you listening, thank you for joining me once again and getting empowered with the kind of knowledge that can not only improve the quality of your life, to be honest, can save your life. So take heed, learn, and as always, I want to remind you to honor the wisdom of your feminine self. And bye for now.